Ladies and gentlemen, hello, good morning. Welcome to today's Bidder Information webcast for the PPL Electric Default Service, RFD. This presentation is specific to the April 2019 solicitation. My name is Benjamin Chee. I'm with MIRA, the RFD manager, and presenting with me today is Mr. Jim Rowland from PPL Electric. A couple of housekeeping items as we start today's presentation. First, all presentation materials as well as the Q&A from this webcast will be posted to the RFD website. The website address is provided on this slide number two at the bottom. It is www.pplesp.com. For today, you can ask your questions at any point in time. To submit your questions to the presenters, just locate the Q&A on the right side of your screen. Select all panelists in the ask box, type in your question, and click send to submit your questions. I'll start here with a disclaimer. Throughout this presentation, we may refer to documents or agreements or describe elements within the documents or agreements. They are summaries only, and they are qualified in their entirety by reference to these documents and agreements. You, as the bidders, will bear the full responsibility for understanding these documents. The governing documents for this RFP is part of the documents that were filed and approved by the commission as PPL Electric's DST number four. They include the commission's order dated October 27 under docket number P-2016-2526627. They will include also the RFP process and rules document, as well as the standard contract for this procurement, which is the Default Service Supplier Master Agreement. Since the issuance of the commission's order related to PPL Electric's DST number four, the commission has also issued an order related to PPL Electric's PoU program, and that is under docket number M-2016-2578051, and the PoU program will affect some elements of the load that suppliers will serve under the Default Service program, as we will explain in this presentation. For today's agenda, we will talk about the scope of the presentation itself, then we will move into a couple of slides related to the regulatory background and an update of the program. We will move into the more practical aspects of participation to discuss the RFD calendar and timeline, and at a very high level, the products that you'll be bidding on and for which we are offering and soliciting your supply bids for. For today's presentation, just take note, this is a multi-solicitation process where there are eight RFP solicitations that are scheduled to be held between April of 2017 through October of 2020. We are into round number five, which is also known as the April 2019 solicitation. A departure from what we have done in the past is that for this presentation, we will only be covering things that are specific to the April 2019 solicitation. There is a separate presentation that we have posted online. You can review the general requirements of the RFP and the process in that more detailed presentation. For today's presentation, we are only covering things that are specific to the 2019 April solicitation. Things that are common across all solicitations will be provided in that detailed presentation that is already posted, that you can find online under the documents page of the RFP website, www.pplesp.com. Go to the left navigation bar, click on documents. Right at the bottom of that page, you will find that specific presentation that provides some of the details on the requirements as well as the process. With this, I will turn the time over to Mr. Roland, the manager for energy acquisition here, to discuss the regulatory background as well as to provide an update of things that are new to this process. Mr. Roland?
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. So as Ben described, I'm going to go through some of the specific policy background issues and items, some of which we've slightly reviewed, at least at a high level in previous solicitations, others which are new or updated since the last. So first, we'll start out with the fourth default service program, that's DSP-4. In January of 16, we filed our petition for approval of this plan, and the plan itself was for the period of June 1-17 through May 31, 2021. On July 19th of 16, we received a joint petition for approval of partial settlement, and then following in October 27th of 2016, we received the commission order approving the joint petition. The default service plan, as Ben had mentioned earlier, contains 8 solicitations between April of 17 and October of 2020, and is for full requirement service. Fixed price products for residential, small commercial, and customer groups are the first product type. The second is spot market products for the large commercial industrial customer group. An update since the last solicitation that many of you may have been following is with regards to the TOU program. So in April of 17, the commission, PAPUC, provided guidance on our TOU design, or time of use design. In August of 17, PPL submitted a petition for approval for a new pilot TOU program, including both the TOU supplier master agreement as well as RFP process rules. In March of 2018, we received a joint petition for partial settlement on the case. And then in May of 2018, the commission issued a final order on the TOU program approving the joint petition for settlement. The TOU RFP, to be specific, is separate from the default service RFP. The program is expected to commence with the TOU solicitation taking place in May, on May 14th of 2019. Following the completion of the default service April 2019 solicitation. That is, following this solicitation process, the TOU solicitation will then commence. PPL is currently awaiting commission approval for the finalization of TOU documents. That is the RFP process and rules, the supplier master agreement, as well as tariff page adjustments. We expect to have those shortly, but of course are awaiting commission review and final letter of approval. Upon doing so, we will post those to the web. To go over some elements of the TOU program to rein in anyone that either hasn't actively been following or to reaffirm those of you that have, specifically the TOU term is for June 1, 2019 through May 31, 2021. This tail end of the TOU program directly coincides with the basic default service program we're currently under. With regard to eligibility, residential and small commercial industrial customers are the primary customer group eligible, and this includes net metering customers. That is, those customers that have some sort of generation resource approved through the AEPS Act. The program specifically excludes customer assistance program, also those called low-income customer groups, or ONTRAC, and virtual net metering customers. Without going into details, those are net metering customers that have multiple type accounts underneath them, linking them together. With regard to the program details itself, first, there are two programs within TOU, one that we call primary and the other the contingency. The primary program is a 6-month full requirements product that will be supplied by wholesale suppliers based upon a bid rate. Very similar to this basic default service program we're in now. The contingency program, as it describes, is a non-bid program that is specifically a calculated rate supplied by default service suppliers in the event of a failed TOU bid or a TOU supplier who were default mid-program. That is, they default the primary program itself. To reiterate, the primary program is a bid program with a winning supplier. The contingency is a calculated rate program from a customer perspective, but load is supplied by default service suppliers at the price bid and won through the basic default service auction. There are two periods, a summer and a winter. The summer term is June through November, with peak hours from 2 p.m., that's 1,400 hours, through 6 p.m., 1,800 hours. The winter term is December through May, with on-peak hours of 4 p.m., that is 1,600 hours, through 8 p.m., 2,000 hours. All other hours are off-peak. The same periods, both those summer and winter, are segments, apply to both residential and small commercial industrial groups. If you'll notice, both summer and winter terms directly coincide with the PTC periods already in place. So this is directly to correlate with the PTC elements that we have and the products that you may be bidding on in this auction. The TOU solicitations are held twice annually, May and November, and will occur after each default service solicitation, as I explained in the earlier slide. Some additional information with relation to the default service auction, that is, this is how it applies to you if you were to bid and participate in this default auction. First, TOU customer enrollment and movement. TOU service is for any residential customer except cap or low-income customers and small commercial industrial customer. Customers enroll in the TOU program by affirmatively electing to participate in the program by either calling TPL through our contact center or requesting enrollment through sign up online or via this automated system when they call in. Customers cannot enroll prior to June 1st, 2019, so there is no opportunity for pre-enrollment. No customer automatically starts or defaults to TOU service. The election into the program must be affirmatively made by the customer, so they must actively choose to move. A customer participating in the default service program is separate from the basic default service program itself. As such, customers entering or departing TOU service will essentially look like shopping customers to basic default service suppliers. That is, when they leave, they're going to look like they're leaving service for a shopping supplier. And when they return, they would look like a traditional returning customer from shopping to default service. Customers may enter and leave TOU service at any time. One very important note. Any default supplier that is qualified for default service solicitation is automatically qualified for the immediately succeeding TOU solicitation. There is no obligation for you as a supplier to participate in the TOU auction. However, for qualification materials, they are transferred and used across both solicitations, so this should expedite your process should you choose to participate in TOU. Moving on to other elements, as an update, we have both the standard offer program as well as the CAP SOP or CAP standard offer program. For the SOP itself, under DSP 4, PPL has elected to continue the SOP program and received approval to do so. Customers are eligible to sign up for SOP online through the Choose Your Supplier page or by signing up as a new or moving customer. This has been the same throughout this entire program. The CAP SOP program is also an element of DSP 4 settlement, and we have implemented this program. The program mirrors the base SOP, but with a few exceptions because of the CAP program specific. Only TPL Electric CAP customers can participate in the program. EGSs must separately elect to participate in the CAP SOP. And at the conclusion of the 12-month contract with customers, CAP customers must be returned to default service or be enrolled in a new CAP SOP. Therefore, they cannot be rolled to some other type of program. One element I'd like to regroup since the last time is the closing of the state borders for solar renewable energy credits in Pennsylvania. In October of 17, the TA legislature passed Act 40, and this is an amendment to the AEPS Act of 2007 and the predecessor 2004. Effectively, it closed the state borders to solar generation outside of Pennsylvania. The PUC issued an implementation order in July of 18, in a reconsideration order in August of 18. The order essentially asserts that SREX used by an LSE, load serving entity, to meet its solar AEPS obligation must be generated within the state border of Pennsylvania. Contracts that were entered into by parties prior to Act 40 amendment and utilizing SREX from previously approved out-of-state solar generation sources may file petition with the PUC for approval and continued use of those sources, but the PUC must review and approve them. SRECs already generated from previously approved solar sources are grandfathered and deemed available for use to comply with the PA solar AEPS obligation. In fact, they should already be changed within the PJM GAT system. From the October 28 solicitation and moving forward, SRECs must be generated from within the state of Pennsylvania or from a facility approved by the PA PUC manager itself. At this point, I'm going to hand it back over to Ben to review the remainder of the presentation. Ben?
Thank you, Mr. Roland. So for this next section, we'll talk about the timeline as well as the key requirements that are specific to the 2019 April solicitation. So as I have mentioned earlier, the DSP itself is a multi-solicitation process, and we are into round five, also known as the April 2019 solicitation. Each of these eight solicitations that are scheduled under DSP number four, there are these three common steps. Step one is for you to provide bidder qualification. Step two is for qualified bidders to provide the bid assurance collateral as well as a signed contract to support your bids. And then step three is for us to receive your bids themselves. And here, I'm just going to provide you the specific dates for when we're receiving them. So the due date for bidder qualification, step one, is by noon on Monday, March 18. Step two is for qualified bidders to provide your collateral to us as well as a signed FMA if you're new, by noon on April 5th, that's a Friday. And then for us to receive in step three your actual bids within the time window of 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Prevailing Time on Tuesday, April 9. And to be more concrete with fleshing out some of the intermediate steps, after today's session and after we have received step one, which is your bidder qualification materials, if they are deficient, you will have a chance to cure your deficiencies. And the general timeline is, upon receipt, we typically will review your materials. We'll start reviewing them starting this coming Monday all the way through March 18. And we will typically provide you a deficiency notice on that same day itself, indicating all of the items that are deficient and a time for you to cure them. And typically, if it is deficient, you will at least have at least 2 business days to turn around a response to cure the first deficiency notice. And any additional information that we will require of you subsequent to that point to respond, if there is a additional step, a deadline will be specified in the deficiency notice. So just take note of the timeline that will be specified in the deficiency notice. You must respond by that timeline or else you may not qualify for this solicitation. After that point, once you're qualified, we will provide you a notice no later than April 1st. That's a Monday, let you know that you're qualified and also to have a time for you to practice all aspects of the bid submission process. That's currently scheduled for Tuesday, April 2nd. And in that same week, by that Friday, you will have to provide us your bid assurance, letter of credit or cash, as well as a signed contract to the extent that you're new. And bids will be received 2 business days after on that Tuesday, April 9. On that same day, we will inform you whether your bids are considered in the winning combination or not. We will provide the PAPUC the report on a confidential basis the very next business day, at which point in time the Commission will have 1 business day to to make its decision that's currently scheduled for April 11th. If they do not render a decision affirmatively, then the results will be deemed approved by the end of that business day, April 11th. At which point in time you receive the signed contracts and transaction confirmation from PPL Electric, and you need to countersign that and return it back to PPL Electric by that Monday, April 15th. If you fail to do so, you may lose your bid assurance collateral. In terms of the products that we are soliciting for this solicitation, we are going out for products in all three customer groups. The residential and small C&I customer groups will feature a fixed price product for a 12-month period and a 6-month period. For the large C&I customer group, we're looking for a spot market product for a 12-month term. In terms of the timeline and the products that I just described, the common thread across all the products, all five products, is that they will all have a start date of June 1st, 2019, whether it's a 12-month product or a 6-month product. In terms of the number of tranches and tranche size, as noted, this is for full requirements load following service. So you have to follow the load of the default service customers. At this time, the residential customer group, each tranche is associated with 2.5% of the default service load, and for small C&I, it's 5% for each tranche, and for the large C&I customer group, it's 10%. In terms of number of tranches being procured, for the residential customer group, we're looking for 16 tranches of the 12-month product, 8 tranches of the 6-month product, and small C&I, we're looking for 6 tranches for the 12-month product and 9 tranches for the 6-month product. And lastly, for the large C&I spot market product, we're looking for 10 tranches in all with 10% for each tranche. I will say a quick word about the difference between the fixed price product in the residential and small C&I customer group and the large C&I spot market product. So to be very clear, the service that you're providing is no different. It is a full requirements load following product. The difference is in how you're getting paid. So you're serving the same default service requirements, and for the residential and small C&I customer group, you will bid in a fixed price and you'll provide the full requirement service and be paid on a fixed price basis. What you're getting paid is what you're going to be bidding in into this RFP. For the large C&I customer group, again, they're providing the same service, but what you're going to be paid is energy price at the PJM real-time spot market. You're going to be paid the RPM price for your capacity, and everything else on the bid price that you provide, the ancillary services, the congestion costs, APS requirements, as well as whatever margin that you are bidding in. That will all be on the fixed price dollar per megawatt hour basis, and that is what will be paid to you in addition to the real-time spot market price, as well as the capacity RPM price. So the next thing to note is that there are two types of load caps that are featured for the residential and the small C&I customer groups. There is what we call a aggregate load cap that applies to the residential and small C&I customer group, and then there is a solicitation load cap that applies to all three customer groups. So first, we'll talk about the solicitation load cap. Solicitation load cap is at this time at 85% of the available tranches in each solicitation for a customer group. So for the residential customer group, we're looking at a total of 24 tranches between the 6-month and the 12-month product, and at 85%, what it means is that no bidder can bid more than 20 tranches in all in that customer group across the two products. For the small C&I customer group, we're looking at a total of 15 tranches at 85%. What it means is that no bidder can bid more than 12 tranches in the small C&I customer group across these two products. And for the large C&I customer group, that is featuring, that customer group is featuring a total of 10 available tranches, which brings the load cap constraint down to 8 tranches, which is the maximum that you can bid and win for that customer group. So that's the solicitation load cap. In addition to that, there is an aggregate load cap in place, and that aggregate load cap will look at the percentage of the default service load that you can bid or is currently serving up to that point in time, as well as what you are wanting to bid in this solicitation. It only applies to the residential and small C&I customer group, and the limit that we will place, or the constraint that we'll place on the amount that you can bid on in this solicitation, will look back into what you have won previously, and it will what you have won in DSP number 4 previously will be accounted for in terms of the maximum that you can bid under the aggregate load cap. We have also, in addition to this default service documents that I have listed earlier as the governing documents, the process and rules, and the SMA, we have provided an exhibit 2 to the default service SMA and posted that online, which will provide to you the AEPS obligations that are in effect for products that you win in this upcoming solicitation. And with that, we want to let you know that PPL Electric is allocating AECs that they have previously procured under a separate procurement to your AEPS requirements. You are responsible to provide AEPS requirements under your contract for the load that you serve, but PPL Electric, through a separate procurement, has procured some ASREC, solar PV AECs, that will credit into your account so that your requirements are actually reduced. And more specifically, if you win a six-month residential product, PPL Electric will provide to each supplier in that customer group for the six-month product a total of 280 SRECs per tranche. For the 12-month products, that's 140 SRECs per tranche. The allocated AECs are applicable to the residential customer groups only, and we refer you to Exhibit 2 of the SMA for more details on this requirement. In terms of what is on the website that we have posted for data, I will now turn the time to Mr. Roland to provide this information.
Great. Thanks, Ben. So just essentially to round this out, it's the same data sources that we have always had through the entirety of this program. In addition to the primary documents, Ben's reviewed the process, the rules, the addendums, the SMAs, credit instruments, bid proposals, training materials, and even this information session presentation, as well as the detailed material. That's all posted on the web through the documents page. Additionally, we have a series of data pieces, again, that we've always had. First, you have the historic load data, default service load data, build sales and counts, and then NYSA specific information and contract information, duration factors, ICAP and NITS tag data, as well as capacity in NSPL. I have updated this through the best available that we have. In most instances, that's January of 19. In a few instances, it's December. And for ICAP and NITS, it's actually through nearly present day. One thing I will note, just to head off any question, we are not forecasting TOU customer participation. We have no way of forecasting that. Therefore, that data segment is not there. Additionally, we have no active TOU supply, so we have no historic data to provide because customers are not being transferred from any previous program into the new one. It's starting fresh. There are no customers. Therefore, as of this exact moment, there is no supply for TOU. As we proceed with TOU supply June 1st forward, we will provide summary level TOU data. Of course, we can't give you customer specific account numbers and so on, but I will provide aggregate level data so you can get a feel for things such as total load, customer counts, and some sales numbers so you can also see from month by month, like we do for bill sales and counts, looking shopping and non-shopping, you can get a feel for customer movement from one program to another. I believe there is still historic TOU data. I would caution you in that while that data is available and can give you some very general context, it is not specific to this program. It is a program that is many years old, and so it could also distract you from the elements of this program in that customers may not act the same way. To essentially conclude the remainder of the presentation, I'm going to give it back to Ben and go through the questions and so on. Ben?
Okay, thank you. Just one note, early on I did mention about the allocated AECs. Just to reiterate that, you should take a look at Exhibit 2 of the SME that is posted online for the details. There is a footnote there that provides the allocated AEC numbers. I may have misspoke as I was presenting. The 6 months product, if you do win it, we are allocating 140 SRECs per tranche for the 6 months product and a total of 280 SRECs per tranche for the 12-month product. So right now, we'll just take questions. To submit your questions, please locate the Q&A on the right side of your screen. Select all panelists in the Ask box, type in your question, and click Send to submit your question. We'll just take a minute to assemble and look at the questions. If you have questions, please ask that of us at this time. Thank you.